Would you open your precious Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to continue to just look right through this book. I hope that it's been helpful for you. It's been helpful for me. I've enjoyed studying. I have learned. I've become a more knowledgeable Christian. I've known more about the Lord. I know more about some subjects that I did not know until I started studying this passage of Scripture. So I would encourage you to be a Bible studier. Just don't wait on a Sunday or a Wednesday. Get in the Word of God and read and study and ask God to speak to your heart. He's been helping me through this and been looking at it. Brother Christian showed me some time back one of the subjects we preached on, two of the subjects we preached on, and back the book of Matthew, chapter 5, two serious subjects. They've been downloaded more than any other message, probably double to triple more than what any other message that's been preached since we've been on sermon audio. And so that was the message on adultery and the message on divorce. And so the Lord dealt with it on the Sermon on the Mount. Now, here's another subject that, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm always maybe a holy nervous, should never say you're, you should always be nervous handling the Word of God, but I'm also confident knowing that what I'm preaching here is truth. So I don't have to apologize for it. I can stand strong. I hope no one thinks I'm being arrogant, because I don't want to be arrogant. I know who I am, but I am confident in the Bible. I know it's God's Word. I know it works. I know it's true. Whether I don't agree with it or even if I don't understand it, doesn't matter. It's always right. I'm always wrong. You're always wrong. The Bible's always right. So when we talk about this subject today, it's just simply about money. Now, I'm going to maybe tweak that title just a little bit. We're going to use the word the Bible uses, but he's dealing with money. Let's just make it clear. This is down where everybody lives tonight. And so I want you to notice in verse 19 of chapter 6 of the Gospel according to Matthew. And I love that God gives us principles in the Word of God that will help us and will help us to develop, I hate to even use the word habits of life, but if we will develop principles in life, He knows us, He loves us, He created us. So again, He's not just this mean God putting down all these rules and this, like, these barriers, although He does do that. It's not because He's mean, it's not because He's trying to keep us from something. He's trying to help us. He loves us. He desires the best for us. Now, whether we agree with it, doesn't matter. Whether we live it, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter even if we apply this tonight to our life. I'm wanting you to know God's motive is to strengthen us, to help us in this journey called life. He's trying to help us. He knows we're going to enjoy the destination. The Lord knows we're going to enjoy the destination. He has no doubt. But here's the thing. He wants us, Brother Mike, to enjoy the journey. See, there are so many Christians that are living and they're just enduring the journey. They can't wait to get to heaven. No, wait a minute. God didn't create us and save us just to endure. He wanted us to give us life and life more abundant, and we ought to enjoy the journey. One way we can enjoy the journey is by putting God's principles in our life. And one of these principles is money. He deals with it a lot. We have to deal with it a lot. You have to deal with it a lot. And so it's a very important subject. People say, I don't know, we ought not deal with it in church. Well, why not? It's in the Bible. And I'm glad that years ago somebody sat down and talked to me in a biblical way on how to finance and how to deal with some things. And by the way, probably the greatest book that helped me when it come to finances was the book of Ecclesiastes. If a man will read the book of Ecclesiastes, you're going to understand something. Anything without God's empty. Doesn't matter if you're a millionaire, if you're wealthy or not. Look, if you don't have God, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be empty. Life's vain, no matter how many possessions you have. So we're going to look at this. The views, and there's really only two. Two views of treasures. Two views of treasure. Now look at verse 19 of Matthew chapter 6. Now notice the command here. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, Jesus is addressing an issue that was prevalent in that day. And by the way, it's still prevalent today. And this principle or this issue is, I'm sad to tell you, but you know the culture we live in, that we are surrounded by many who only seek for worldly gain, who are concerned about laying up treasure on this earth, who are absolutely, this culture is so consumed with possessions and wealth. Many times, people are not even judged, or many times, people are judged by how much they have or what they own, more so than the character that they possess and the kind of person they are. We live in that kind of day. So we understand that the Lord was not only speaking, and by the way, people then are the same as people now. Sin then is the same as sin now. Nothing changes. So I want you to understand Jesus Christ was dealing with an issue that needed to be dealt with. Now, seems like in our society, and obviously in that society, he probably knew there were many there that he was speaking to would never be satisfied. They always had to have more. Now, let me make this clear. Having wealth and having possessions is not sinful. By the way, having a 401k and having some things put back is not sinful. That's not what he's talking about here. Someone said, oh, well, he's rich, he must be. No, wait a minute. There's never anything wrong with someone working hard and achieving success. God always has condoned someone to work hard. And so someone works hard and they become wealthy. There's nothing wrong with that. So that's not what the Bible says. Some people have the idea if someone's wealthy, if someone's successful, they automatically they think, well, what did he do? No, listen to me. He worked hard. He was successful. There's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says the root of all evil is not money, it's the love of money. So really, what is important here that he's dealing with is not having possessions or having wealth or even desiring those things within its right. But listen to me, here's what he's dealing with. The view of money. The view of this. So there's only two views of treasure that we find in this passage of Scripture. It's our view of treasure or possessions or money. That's what he's dealing with, because here's why it's an issue. When it dictates or motivates us or consumes us, it's wrong. It's a wrong motive. It's the wrong consuming power. It's the wrong thing to be consumed by as a Christian. Money should never motivate us. Now, let me just give you a quick illustration. You know as well as I do, the moment we think a minister or someone on television is motivated by money, what do we say? What do we say? We always say, I'll tell you what, all he wants is money. Well, wait a minute. He's on television doing that, but I know a whole lot of people that's not a preacher that's all they want. And they are all over our churches just like ours. But they don't get up on television and tell the whole world that they want it, but they do it in other ways. But by the way, it's just as wrong. So when we deal with this situation of money, it's not having money, it's not having treasure, it's not having wealth, it's not having possessions, but it's when it becomes the motive or it dictates our life and it consumes us in such a way that it becomes the treasures of our heart. So when we think about this view of treasure or this view of possessions or this view of money. Let's look at the proper views. We're going to look at two views. One's proper, one's wrong. And they're right here in the Word of God. So let's first of all look at this. Let's look at the placement of treasure. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Then notice, I want you to notice the next verse. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So listen to me. There's only two places you can lay up treasure. There's only two. On earth or in heaven. Right? That's what the Bible says. So there's only two places that our treasures can be stored. Now what does it mean to lay up? It says lay up. It says not to lay up, then it says to lay up. Well, what does it mean? It means to gather or to store up, or it means to place our treasure where it can be safe and where it can be kept in order to grow or to mature, to get more. By the way, someone said, I put my money in a money market. Well, why? Well, you're going to get more in a money market. Is that wise? Probably so. So we understand if you're going to put your money. I don't know of anybody that signs a check, fills it completely out, and then just takes it out here and lays it on the street somewhere. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to take a signed check, fill out the amount, and go over here and lay it on top of our mailbox and say, hey, you know, whatever, nobody's ever going to find it. It's not a secure place to keep it. Right? Nobody's going to do that. But yet, we have that same ideology when it comes to our life and when it comes to talking about storing up our treasures. We need to understand that there are only two places that we can lay up, store up, put something up in advance so it will grow, so it will mature, so it will be safe, so it will not be rusted, it will not rot, it will not ruin, it will not be robbed. But we find that in this placement, we find there's only two places we can store it, earth or heaven. And by the way, there's a vast difference between the two. There's a vast difference between laying up our treasures on earth or in heaven. I say to the one that is only interested tonight, if there's anybody in here, and you're only interested in laying up treasure on this earth, I'm going to give you some very, very, very wise counsel. Are you ready? You better enjoy it. You better enjoy it now, because you certainly are not going to take it with you. And I'm going to tell you, when you lay up your treasure on this earth, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Somebody else is going to spend it. And you will have no way of being able to keep them from spending it the way you want them to spend it. I heard someone say years ago, and I'm being honest, I heard someone say, no, I don't think I would say this, but I think it was wise. This person said, he said, listen, he said, Pastor, I'm going to tell you right now. He said, I ain't leaving no money for a, now he said this, that isn't a pot smoking grandchild. Think about it. Think about it. You certainly aren't going to take it with you. So when we think about this treasure and laying it up, do you want to lay it up where moth, rust, rot, ruin, it can be robbed? Or do we want to place it in heaven? By the way, when we talk about treasure in heaven, it always has to do with souls. You know why? Because we're the only things that are going to last forever. When you talk about treasure, you can't get past people. You think about this tonight. When you go to heaven, you think, oh, I'm going to have treasure up there. No, your treasure is the things you were willing to give to God so people could get saved, so you can enjoy the treasures of souls in heaven forever. That's the treasure. Some people have this idea, well, what's he mean there, lay up treasure in heaven? He's not talking, you're not going to take your money with you. You're not going to take your 401k. You're not going to take your house. You're not going to take your car. So you're not going to enjoy that. You can't lay that up in heaven. The Lord's talking about giving so you can have eternal treasure in heaven with souls. I love what Brother Larry said. He said, look, this push, we need to be praying for this push. We need to be praying for this push. We ought to be praying for this push. Why? Because it's eternal. I want y'all to know something tonight. My worst enemy, And I don't even have one in my mind right now. But my worst enemy, I don't want them to die and go to hell. My worst enemy. I don't want them to die and go to hell. So, Pastor Mark, what can I do? I can give now. I can do now. Because there's coming a time. It's going to be dark. I can't give no more. I can't work no more. Why? But if all I'm worried about is putting here and having this and getting this and doing this and being consumed with everything here, I'm going to enjoy it now, because I'm going to tell you right now, it's certainly you're not going to enjoy it in heaven. So if there's anybody here tonight and you're not interested in souls, you're not interested in laying up treasures in heaven, if you're not interested in it, I'm going to tell you right now, you better enjoy what you have now, because you will not enjoy it forever. You want to know why? Because it's temporary. Oh, I wish God could brush back the veil, and through faith we realize that eternity is forever. Some of you right now say, oh, Pastor, I've lived a long life. I'm 80 years old. Listen to me. It's not a drop in the bucket to forever. Whatever you enjoy in 80 years, you certainly want to enjoy more forever. The view, see. You better enjoy it now. I better enjoy it now, because why? It's going to be temporary. You will not take it with you. It will be left for someone else to spend. Look at the possession. Look at verse 19. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. So there's only two: earthly treasures and heavenly treasures. What's the possession? Well, earthly treasure is this. Treasures laid up on earth will suffer ruin, robbery, rust, decay. It will not last. It's temporary. It will be left behind. But wait a minute. What about them heavenly possessions? They're not going to suffer ruin. They're not going to suffer loss. They're not going to suffer robbery. They're not going to suffer rust and rot and decay. It's going to be forever, eternal. You're going to be able to enjoy it forever. Forever. So I don't know about you. That motivates me. Now look, we live down here with an eye, the physical flesh. We live in the world. Everything's visible. Everything we can enjoy now. So it's hard for us to think about eternity. But through the eyes of faith, we understand this to be true. So we've got to start living now based upon a fact in the future. Through faith, we see eternity. And so we've got to ask God to help us to have the view of the right things, of seeing things eternally instead of temporary. So we see the possessions. Now, I don't know about you, but I have failed many times in this area. But as I've been studying this, I've asked God to help me to start seeing things forever. We do a lot of work and effort. We put a lot of time and effort. We spend a lot of money on things that are temporary. And we give God change. And we give God our leftovers. But yet, we'll give God, we'll spend double that in this life. And by the way, I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. Someone will say, well, Pastor, why ain't you bought a bass boat yet? I'm going to tell you why. That reason right there. Now, I put it on my wife. I say she'd get mad at me, but she really wouldn't. But I'm going to tell you really why I can't get past buying a $40,000 bass boat, because I know there's too many people, there's too many missionaries, there's too many people, there's too many souls that could be saved if I'd be willing to give it to the Lord. Now, we got to be sensitive to the Lord. I'm not preaching to you. If the Lord makes you sensitive about something, you give it. I'm not saying you're wrong if you do go buy a bass boat. But I'm just saying, if we have the right view of things, we should be willing to give things up for the Lord. Why? Because we understand our possessions are only temporary. We're only going to enjoy them for a bit. Our possessions. Then quickly, look, the priority. Look at verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This don't even need explanation. This is so simple, so direct, so to the point, it doesn't even need any explaining. But I'm going to explain it. One little phrase. You want to know what someone is passionate about? You want to know what someone is really passionate about and they spend all their time in and what they're really excited about? I'm going to tell you what, it's what they put all their time in and all their effort in. Someone says, well, I love the Lord. Well, wait just a second. Be careful now. I need to be careful. If I say I love the Lord, then shouldn't my life act like I love Him? Shouldn't there be proof of that? I mean, I'd be faithful to church. Y'all help me. That's right there where y'all just jump in. I mean, if I love the Lord, I mean, it's like I say, well, honey, you know I love you. And if she's in the nursery, like, but I look at my wife and say, honey, I know I love you, but I never talk to her. Well, honey, you know I love you, but no, you can't have nothing. This is mine. I ain't going to buy you nothing. You don't need nothing. Somebody else can buy you. Because, you know, a lot of church members are like, well, somebody else will tithe. Wait a minute. We love the Lord. I mean, if I love my wife, y'all going to know I love my wife. Y'all hang out with me a little bit. Y'all are my family. Y'all believe I love my wife. Why y'all think that? I mean, it's going to show where your treasure, where your heart is. Look, whatever your heart's in, it will show. So if someone is consumed by money, look at me. If you're worried about money, look here. I already know it. By the way, let me help everybody here just a second. I think this is on record. I'll say it on record. I never talk about money. I'm going to tell y'all something. I worry about a lot of things about the ministry of this church, but look at me. I've never one time worried about money. Some of y'all worry more about it than I do. You say, why? Because I'm just going to be honest with you. That's faith. This isn't my work. By the way, this isn't your work. By the way, tithing is not your money. Tithing's not. And by the way, I don't even know anybody that tithes here. And honestly, if anybody does know, that is a great responsibility. And everybody needs to be quiet if you do know it. It's a great responsibility that you have. But if there is a passion about, and there's an uneven passion and consuming love for money, people know it. Why? Where your treasure heart, where your treasure is, your heart will follow. Hey, listen, God's getting right down the nitty-gritty. He said, look, why? Because that's the wrong view of money. It shouldn't be our passion. It shouldn't be a consuming motivator for us. I can honestly say this before you. I've never done anything here motivated by money. Now, I can't stand here before you and say it. I've never said anything in pride because I have. I can't say to you that I've stood up here before you or I've even tried to lead this church and say I've never said something wrong. I can't. But I can promise you this. I can promise you this. I have never made one decision in this church based on money. I didn't even come here based on money. Could you imagine someone moving and taking a job and not even knowing what the salary is? Somebody help me. So when I say that the right view of money needs to be displayed, I've watched it in other people's. I want you to know something. There is a right view of treasure and money and wealth. And I want you to know something. The priority will show. I think we ought to be as frugal as any church should be frugal. But at the same time, God uses money as a tool, as a resource. He has never condoned one time for us to lay up treasure and set on it because there's people that are dying and going to hell and think money is a tool. It's a resource. When we think about the view of this treasure, look at verse 22 quickly. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be filled with darkness. Now listen, here's what he's talking about here, the view. There's a right view and there's a wrong view. The right view is illustrated by one eye, a single eye. I want you to notice this. You see it there? The light of the body is the eye. Therefore thine eye be single. You know what he's talking about here? It simply means this. It illustrates seeing treasure in the right perspective. It's seeing money in the right perspective. How do you see it right, Pastor? How should we see it right? We should see it as God sees it. As God sees it. Not like I see it. Not like we think it should be. But the way God sees it. And the only way we're going to be able to know if God sees it, if we're being submitting to the Holy Spirit and read His Word. Because if you read His Word, you will find out real quick His view on money. And it's not the normal Baptist church that I've come in contact with today. The most average Baptist church that I come in contact with in America, here's what they say. Well, I'll tell you right now, this is the Lord's money. That's true. But they always use that because they don't want to do nothing with it. Well, I got Bible for you. What happened when the young rich ruler came up and said, hey, I got all these riches. I think I'll tear these barns down and build new so I can. But what did God say to him? What did Jesus Christ say to that young man? He said, man, you're a good business guy. You're smart. You're wise. He didn't say that. What did he say? He called him a fool. That's the only Bible I need. Jesus Christ looked at that young man and said, you're a fool. You're building more barns to put more wealth in, and there's people dying and going to hell, and I have a work to do. Your view's wrong, young man. You're a fool. I don't want the wrong view. I want my eye to be single. Here it is. I want to see it like Jesus would see it, Brother Don. I want to, and by the way, he's dealing with money here. But this is an application for everything in life. I want to see everything as Jesus would see it. We ought to know the will of God in every situation in our life. But he's dealing in context with treasure here. So we ought to see it pure, true, from the right perspective, righteous, the way God sees it. Not just a numerical value, but a moral, righteous value. Seeing finances and treasures and wealth spiritually. How does God see it? That matters to me as a man that's trying to finance and have budgets in my home. I want to make sure I want to see my budget right. I want to make sure I leave some stuff behind in a month so if God prompts my heart to give, I can give. Why? It's not my view. Now, let me tell y'all. If I had a double vision, if I had this other view, the wrong view, here's what I'd tell you. Oh, they can get it. I don't care. I'm in this thing for me, mine, and mine alone. I ain't giving to nobody. But wait a minute. That's the wrong view, because what if Jesus pulled that on us? He wouldn't have died. Certainly not for any of us. So the single eye shows that we ought to have the right perspective of finances, money, treasure. We ought to see it like God sees it. By the way, if we see it like God sees it, we'll give. We won't give begrudgingly. We'll give joyfully. We'll put up in our budget places where we can give more. We are free to give. Why? Because God says, lay up your treasures in heaven. The view. It's not the money. It's the view of the money. It's the view, the view, the view. He says, look, your view should be single. In other words, you ought to see it like God. By the way, everything's spiritual. Money is no different. So we think about money as a tool. It's a resource. What can we do with it? What is God's will with our money? What does God want me to do with our money, with the gift of monetary things? What does He want? How should I budget my finances according to His will? His way, His will dictates our motives and desires. That's the right view of money. A single eye will see treasure and money in light of God's holiness according to His will. Quickly, the wrong view, the sinful eye. Look at verse 23. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Now he's talking about this double vision, this wrong. It simply does not see it as God sees it. See, some, maybe even tonight, I hope not. I hope there's no one sitting out here not saying, well, I tell you what, he's wrong. He ain't right. Wait a minute. Who is? What do you work for? Do you work to live or live to work? If I'm being biblical here, we have a job, not, look here. You don't have an employment. That's not your life. Here's what we tell, and I told a young man earlier this year, we have failed in so many ways. We tell these young people when they get out of high school, say, here, what are you going to do with your life? Well, it's certainly not going to be a job. Can you imagine putting 40 years into a business and you say, that's my life, and they get rid of you or you're retired and they never even remember you anymore? That's not what you do with your life, a job, an employment. That's what you do to provide for your family. You're a Christian. You serve God with your life. You do more with your life than give it to some company. We've told these young people, oh, go get a job. Wait a minute. God wants more for them than just go get a job. He wants them to be a Christian, to live for God, to serve in a church and know what it means to have a family that serves the Lord and loves the Lord and have a Christian home. There's so much more. Oh, go get a job. Well, a job's not going to fix anything. That's how you provide for your family. I've seen the sad ones. They've lived 40 years. They say, oh, what'd you do? Oh, hell, what I did with my life. I run trains down the tracks. Brother Cobby, I've seen them. Now they have no joy of life because they live their life to run trains down a track. They don't have a family. They never loved their children. They've never been there. There's more to life than that. That's not what people do with their life. And why? Oh, I had to provide for my family. No, you loved that more than you did anything else. We've sold these young people a false bill of goods. Oh, just go out and get a job. No, that's how, listen to me, that's how they provide for their family. And that's how they support the church. But that's not what they do with their life. The right view of money is it provides for our family and it provides for the work of God. It does not bring happiness. It does not bring joy. And even if it did, at best, it's temporary. This single view, this single eye simply does not see it as God. Our flesh clouds up our vision. It hinders us from seeing what God would have us to see. Having the right view is vital. Of money. The evil eye will only see and want and desire and lust to have. As an individual, as a family, as a church, we must have a single eye when it comes to treasure. And I'm saying this to you, from my eye to yours, from my heart to yours, from my life to yours, and I'm going to promise you this. If I was doing anything in this church for the motive of what this is, I'm going to tell y'all right now, I would be the first to tell you that y'all don't need me here anymore. But I'm going to be honest with you. If that's what's motivating you, then you ought to be just as honest as I would be. And come clean with the Lord and let Him help you to have the right view of treasure. It's temporary. So let's all pray. God, help me to be more tender to see it like you see it. Help me to be able to willing to give more. Mission Faith Promise is coming up in October. Lord, what can I do more? What can I give more? If you have the right view, you're always trying to find ways to give and to do and invest instead of keep, hoard, and do. If you have the right view, it takes away greed. It takes away envy. Now, I got a lot of struggles in my life. I'm going to tell you something. Isaac, if you got out and you went, you got your pretty Mustang. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm glad you got it. Man, it's a sharp-looking car. I know some people say, you know what they do? They go out and they buy them a bigger one. Do y'all know something? I have no desire to do that. I used to, as a young person, I used to say, man, I wish I had this. Listen to me, y'all. I'm just being honest. The vehicle I have today, I could care less what it looks like as long as it gets me from point A to point B. I don't care what it looks like. Amen. Hey, listen, if we have the right view of money, we'll never envy anybody. We'll never be jealous. We won't be greedy. Can you imagine someone being envious of somebody else's wealth? God help us. That is a sad way to live. Well, I wonder how so-and-so got it. Well, he probably worked for it. Or this day and age, I'm going to tell you, probably they're in debt up to their ears with it. So look, let's not be worrying about all that. It doesn't matter. It's none of our business. By the way, and I ain't going around trying to find out stuff either. Well, what's that? Here, and look at me, church. None of us need to be doing that. It's none of our business. Somebody say amen. Doesn't matter. Well, I wonder how so-and-so, how much God. Doesn't matter. If you have the right view, doesn't matter. So let's have the right view. Single eye, right? Give, invest. What can we do more? I believe that's God's way. Let's stand on our feet. Because we want to put treasure in heaven. He said, lay up treasure in heaven. Not on earth. Why? Because it could rust. It could be robbed. It could decay. Let's have the right view, church. Let's bow our head, close our eyes tonight as we close. I'm going to ask you, would you just ask the Lord help us all now to have the right view, have the spiritual view of things. Makes everything right. We don't have double vision. Helps us see clear.